Voices Radio Network.
Blood, Sweat, and Gear is for informational and educational purposes only. Kids, don't try this at home.
Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I'm Scott McNally, and with me, as always, for this very special episode, Skip Hill. What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, very special, limited edition.
Yes. Yes.
Podcast, yeah.
So, hey, before we get started, I want to give everybody kind of a background of what's gone on so they can kind of understand better what's going on. Because I know there's a lot of people, Skip, that follow you and they're listening to this show now because they want to hear, you know, what's Skip's situation. But before we get to that, I just want to say, so Skip, you have competed for a long time. How many years? When did you first compete? When was your first show?
My first show, we wore rock posing suits.
They used to make them out of rocks, huh?
I didn't know out that. Of rocks, yeah? Yes.
Very yeah. Uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable is right. I agree. You know, it's 80, 90. Okay. When I was 20.
So I got a question for you. Just this is like totally off topic of where we're going here. Back then, now I've seen some pictures. This is before my time, because when I'm backstage, they have like paper taped down. It's real clean. They have paper or plastic on the walls. Everything's taped down perfectly. Back in the day, they used to scatter newspaper over the floor. Did you ever do a show where they had newspaper scattered over the floor to keep people from getting their tan and their oil on it?
I don't remember newspaper. I remember getting bitched at not to touch anything.
Yeah, nothing. Right. That still happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing. You know, we went through the dream tan era.
Ooh.
Where they would threaten to ban you from competition, which is funny because the NBC always threatens to ban you for everything, but they never do unless you say something even subtly derogatory about the god Jim Mannion himself. and then he exercises his power. You know, the only way that he knows how and makes your life miserable. There is a bone of contention.
So you can get smited. I like that word, smited.
Exactly. Ostracized, blackballed. The powers that be in the bodybuilding industry exercise those powers as frequently as possible. But that's for a different podcast,
that's a different show.
I guess. Yeah.
All right. Exactly. So Skip has been competing for a long time. Several years ago, while I was listening to PED Radio, he had announced that he was going to stop running gear. And the reason is because he was suffering from some high red blood count numbers. Was it hematocrit that was just, it was getting hard to control?
Yeah, the RBC hematocrit hemoglobin in 2013, out of nowhere, was just off the charts. In fact, my doctor called me and said, hey, no need to be alarmed, but the numbers came back so bad that it can't possibly be your blood work because, you know, he knew I had done blood work every 6 to 12 months, usually every 6 months for years. So it was almost predictable that, you know, where my numbers would be on cycle, you know, whether on or off. So he's like, hey, no worries. I'm going to have them, you know, run them again, and I'll give you a call in another 3 or 4 days. And when he called me back, he said, you need to come in. We need to discuss these numbers because they're right and they're horrible. And I just was, I kind of laughed. I'm like, well, how bad can they really be? Talk about it to me now. And he wouldn't.
Oh.
So that was the beginning of me making the transition to TRT, which honestly, at that point, I really didn't have a huge problem doing. I mean, I almost felt like, well, you know, this is kind of, I wrote it for a long time. This is what it is. And I want to say I didn't have a hard time. I mean, it was obviously like, oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I thought, you know, my health is obviously, you know, more important. That's the of utmost concern. And I even tried to come off, you know, for a year first and played with TRT and then thought, well, you know, my numbers reset. I'm probably good. And stepped on the gas a year later for about 6 weeks and they went through the roof again. So that was kind of my, I'm done. sort of thing. And I don't want to say it was easy, because it wasn't easy, but it was easier because I had already exhausted and understood my place in the bodybuilding world. So as an example, if I would have thought, oh shit, you know, I'm never going to get that pro card, you know, this is my dream, that would have been different. But I had already exhausted that, and I had already been to juniors, and I knew that I was never going to go very far. So life was good. You know, I was, you know, my business was good.
Okay. Yeah. Is. Yeah. And that's where I was going next. So I was going to say, exactly. You know, Skip continued on. He is a successful prep coach and diet coach. You know, you've gotten a lot of people in shape between then and now, no question about it. A lot of listeners to the show, as a matter of fact, work with you. TeamSkip.com for anybody who hasn't gone. That's my plug for you, Skip, for the day.
I appreciate that.
And, you know, recently you decided to move. So Skip moved from Colorado, training at Armbrus Gym and out there with those guys. Now he's in South Florida, great weather. Everything's just, man, I'm jealous personally. I see him posting up, you know, pictures and stuff of just this beautiful weather. And life is good. Skip decides, hey, I'm going to do a show. I'm going to prep. And we've talked about this to like great degrees on Blood, Sweat, and Gear through the episodes. You know, and I've picked apart and asking, you know, what your decisions are, where your mindset is. You know, having had these previous health issues and deciding that you weren't going to compete anymore, and then you decided, well, hey, I'm going to compete, and I'm also going to do it enhanced. So, you know, you've been doing the TRT bodybuilding thing for a number of years now. You decide to pull the trigger. You are going to run a cycle, and you are going to, you know, do the best you can. Now, you're not going in to compete to win your pro card, as you said, but you just, it's like it should be for everybody, a personal challenge to get into the best shape you possibly can. And if you're anything like me, setting up a show is a great catalyst to be able to achieve that. So what's going on, Skip?
I think you explained it quite well. And I think with everything that has happened recently, I have an even better perspective on what my motivation was at that time, why I wanted to make the change, even more so now than I did then. The reality is I have downplayed how important continuing to compete and really challenge myself was. You know, I always say things like, well, you know, I've got other things going. My life is good. And my life is good. I mean, I've got a good marriage. I've got a, you know, my family's great. I've been relatively successful. I'm not on hard times financially and things like that. So it's a half truth, but the reality is I think I have downplayed how important continuing to compete really is in my guts and in my heart. And I think that's where, and please understand that I am, I've been processing all this shit for the last few days. And I think I'm in a much better spot than I was, but my brain really is still scattered. So if I do take a second to, you know, bring my thoughts together, bear with me.
I'll try to keep you on track, but I understand.
That. And I think it's just, there still is that passion there of, you know, not, you know, am I going to get a car? How am I going to win? Or, but can I still do this? And I can't put my finger on it. It probably is youth related. It's probably holding on. You know, I'm 48 years old and I still want to prove. And I say I want to prove to myself. I do want to prove to myself. But I'm lying if I say that I don't want to prove it to anybody else. There's still a bit of an ego in the sense that I still want to be able to prove that I can do it. Am I going to be as good as I was? Of course not, because I don't carry the muscle that I did. You know, even if we take gear out of the equation for, what, almost 6 years, you know, there have been chronic injuries from my lower back that have allowed, you know, the fact that I don't have the leg muscle and I haven't had the leg training to be able to maintain leg size and things like that. But I live for prepping. And when I say live for prepping, I love it is what I'm saying. I love the structure of it. I love the challenge of it. I just I love it.
And you've come to life, Skip. I can tell you, you know, I talk to you every episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I feel like I've gotten to know you pretty well on, you know, some levels, because we talk about these things every episode. And I can tell you that you have come to life since you began dieting again. I can tell that you're more passionate about bodybuilding. You're more passionate about just your training and about your nutrition and doing things right. I can hear it in your voice. It's been some great episodes. It's been exciting. And so that's why I think that this is definitely, I can see why it's more than just a show to you. It's a way of life. Now I'm going to ask you the same question again, though. What's going on?
The reality is I'm defeated. I'm angry. I'm a little bit embarrassed.
Okay.
And I'm admittedly emotional is probably the best word. I'm having a really difficult time with the realization that as much as I wanted to prove to myself that I can do the reality has been like a brick to my face. And it's not that I can't prep. It's not that I can't compete, but I can't do it the way that I want to do it. And the way that I wanted to do it was to be gassed. And it's just been so in my face and so obvious that part of the embarrassment is I have illogically put aside all of the obvious signs, and I'm doing what I chastise others for doing, and that is, ignoring the obvious and ignoring my health and that sort of thing. And I think this weekend was just kind of a wake-up call, you know, I guess, to where I can't, things have gotten to the point where I just can't do it. I can't, it's too much. And
what happened this weekend?
Let me preface this by saying, and I don't know if anybody remembers this or what, but a couple months ago I was at a Marlins game with my wife and a buddy of mine.
And you walked away from a new car. I remember that.
It might not have been the same day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the same damn day because Josh was there with us.
Okay. How,
that's an odd, bizarre coincidence, which had nothing to do with the car, I guess. But what happened was when we were leaving the game, I had to go down a couple flights of stairs, and I thought that my legs felt kind of tight, and I got about halfway down the flight of stairs in the parking garage, and I actually had to stop because I was starting to cramp so bad in my hips and my calves, and found myself kind of breathing heavy and that sort of thing, and struggled to get back to the car. A guy that was passing gave me some water, and that helped.
We talked about that on the show. And
okay, I wasn't sure if we did.
Yeah, we did. And you know, one of the thoughts Scott had was that, well, it is hotter there. You are expelling more fluid, you know. I mean, which I think is a definitely a go-to thought to have, you know, dehydration.
It is, but I'm going to say this early, right away, because this is really important to me. I get a lot of response from friends and people that I trust. I don't talk just to anybody. I'm kind of a private guy.
Sure.
The people I do talk to, I trust their information and their knowledge, and usually there's a medical background there. So I want to make sure that those people know that I appreciate their feedback. But I will say this. It's very easy to, and it has been, and I proved it, that it's easy to justify these situations by saying, I just had an electrolyte imbalance, and, I fixed it because my water intake was low, and that's basically how I justified it.
Okay.
But this is a sign, or was a sign at that point, that things were off so bad that when someone walks down a flight of stairs who's supposed to be relatively healthy, I don't care the climate. I mean, I wasn't outside working maintenance in, you know, doing lawn care for 12-hour days in 100-degree heat. I went to a fucking baseball game with a retractable dome. Yeah. I drove in my car with air conditioning. And I've been, I know the difference between being hydrated and dehydrated because I've been doing this for years. So, yes, I was not hydrated. I can say that, you know, maybe over time I was just basically slowly getting dehydrated. I can explain it a million different ways. But even a normal person who doesn't train, when they're not hydrated and they don't drink much water and they have, you know, even have a shitty meal or whatever, they don't walk downstairs and have to stop because their muscles are going to lock up. So that should have been the first red flag. Did I rectify it? I guess I did, in the sense that I didn't have, you know, I forced more water and it went away and I was able to train. What didn't go away was I have had edema problems this entire prep. And it's not been bad other than a couple situations like when I was cramping, but it came back this last weekend. And when I'm talking about edema, you know, as soon as I say edema, I can imagine people are thinking, oh, you know, yeah, again, you know, electrolyte imbalance, whatever. You're just not hydrated, not paying attention to your, yeah, okay, fine. But again, you know, I'm trying to let everybody know that this isn't, it isn't normal. And I know that there are underlying issues. I'll be honest with you. I'll go so far as to say this, and this is a reach. I don't know what this plays into anything or if it even does. But I have never had edema issues or these types of issues until I had the DNP problem last year.
So and last year you dieted. You didn't go, you know, hog wild. You didn't dive on a bunch of gear, but you did use DNP.
Right.
And I do remember you suffered. You suffered from that dramatically.
Yeah, the prep last year was not marred, I guess is the only word that comes to, or plagued with health issues. It was plagued with a lot of outside stressors as far as my, you know, I had that cancer diagnosis of my mother's, or my wife's mother. My wife, her friend was traumatically killed in that car accident. We had a lot of things that went on, some family issues and things that there were outside influence that played into me eventually having shingles that I had to pull out, which I think is making me having to pull out of this prep again as it comes down closer to show to the show that much more difficult.
So that's what you're saying. You hadn't actually said that yet, and I know people are wondering. So you are pulling
continue.
Out.
Okay. I can't continue. And honestly, that's the least of my concerns. Obviously, I'm battling with it. It's about 10% of my frustration and my emotion. The other 90% is I'm really angry at myself for the things that I have let slide from a health standpoint and tried to justify. That's really where it starts to get hard psychologically. I have, you know, pushed through, and I have continued basically saying, you know what, I'm so close. I can make this work. My condition and everything has been progressing very well. You know, I don't have any issues or, you know, or had any concerns there other than the edema. So
yeah,
the edema, is really what woke me up. And I, you know, I can't leave out the upper GI bleeding issue that I had.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago. I don't think it was related.
No, that sounds different to me, but it's not like two nice things. You know, it's like one thing is an issue and the other thing, well, like this isn't good either. I can see they're stacking up is the way I look at that.
Now, the other part is I can't say for sure that there isn't some relation. There clearly was something going on. But what concerns me about the upper GI issue was, let me just say this. This will probably put it into a better light. I had a guy who was an ex-client of mine.
Okay.
When I posted this on social media, he beat me up and he hit me with some. Matter of fact, I deleted his comment. because I didn't appreciate it. He started hitting me with private messages. And I couldn't get over the fact that it was bothering me so much. And I gave him a lot of shit. And he was on me about that I was being stupid for not going to have it checked out and for seeing a doctor and taking medical advice over the phone, when in reality it was easy for me to tell him, you're giving me medical advice over the internet and you're an optometrist, so what the fuck is the difference? What do you really know? And I said that my decision I was comfortable with, that it was my decision and I didn't want, I didn't ask for his opinion and I didn't want it. And it stuck with me because I wondered why I was so angry about someone telling me that it needed to be looked at. And I think in hindsight, it was easy for me to do that because I didn't want to get checked because I didn't want to be told something was wrong. Now, in my defense, I can say it did stop. I was getting medical advice from an ICU doctor through another party, an ICU nurse, two other nurses, and there was no ongoing pain. There were no other symptoms. It's easy for me to say that now. The problem is when you put all these things together, this is me avoiding obvious signs for a fucking show. And I think this weekend, running into what had happened this weekend, just to give more clarity or more detail, was I even had people ask me, are you running DNP again? And I said no, because that's really what the symptoms were coming down to as far as edema. When I say edema, it isn't just mild swelling like the veins disappear in my lower leg.
Okay.
It is to the point where my toes look like sausages.
Oh, fuck.
I can't get my shoes on. It looks like that guy who comes off a show and brags about gaining 40 pounds.
Yeah.
And it's just this badge of honor while I'm looking at it going, wait a minute, I haven't had a cheat meal. I haven't loaded. I'm depleted at this point. I'm supposed to load in 2 days, and I have this going on. If I load, this is going to be horrible.
Yeah.
So I looked at it, and I said, you know, and I did, hadn't just come off Clen to where, okay, I'd have this rebound. Now, I did take Yohimbine, and Yohimbine does put water on me. So at first, I kind of said, you know, this is probably from the Yohimbine. God damn, I'm not reacting very well to this.
What are we talking scale-wise? Like
I did not get on the scale.
Okay.
And I didn't get on the scale because I think subconsciously I knew that it would be like, holy fuck.
We talking, you think, more than 10 pounds?
Oh, yeah.
We talking more than 15? We're talking
edema to probably the top of the calf.
Okay. We're talking maybe 15, even 20?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So my brain first goes to justify it by saying, oh, this is what happened 2 months ago. I have somehow. And again, yeah, see, this is the embarrassment part, because this sounds so stupid. But then the brain tries to logically put it together by saying, oh, this is what happened 2 months ago. I've been training double sessions and doing double sessions of cardio. So I have slowly slipped back into this dehydrated phase without knowing it.
You're looking for these solutions that you can to just cover it up and keep moving, really.
Sure.
And I see.
Right. And especially because it's so close. I'm getting close to the shows. My condition without the water is really very good. And what you do is what I did. I guess I'm not going to say what you do. I'll just – what I did is what I think a lot of people do, and it's – you start to put it together so that it logically makes sense, so that you can continue, so that your time, your effort, your, you know, basically your overall investment, money, time, effort, isn't wasted, and you just move on. You have a goal, you're locked in, and there really isn't much else other than this end goal getting so close. And, you know, I haven't competed. I haven't been on stage for 6 years. So I don't know that that played into it more like, you know, hey, you know, this is I had to pull out last year through no fault of my own. I was obviously not going to be able to continue through a bout of shingles when, you know, in the past shingles has caused me to deal with chronic nerve pain. So that scared the shit out of me. I was not very lucky with my first go around with shingles, where most people just move through shingles and yeah, it sucks while they have it, then they get rid of it. I didn't get rid of it in the sense that I didn't get rid of the nerve damage. So there was no way. I think, and what I'll say to this, if anybody thinks, well, so-and-so had shingles and he was going to go through it and he was going to continue on, so-and-so and everybody else who is so-and-so with shingles didn't have it so bad that they ended up with nerve damage for the rest of their life, and I did. Mm. And that's where I don't fuck around with shingles. And a couple of people have approached me in the last few months who have gotten it, and I have begged and pleaded with them to get their fucking asses to the doctor right now, because even waiting an extra day can cause that nerve damage to be permanent. So it's nothing to fuck around with. But my point being, it became easy for me to justify these things to the point where I think this last weekend it became a little overwhelming, because I started to push more water and started to realize this isn't getting much better, and why am I having this again? If I had loaded, that would be different. Sometimes you can load or you can have a cheat meal and you're just naturally low on water because you're trying to push food. Yeah. And that's a minor thing that after a day or two it adjusts. So what I did was I pushed the water higher. I got rid of maybe 70, 75% of it, and I went into loading. I had to load because I felt that I needed to load because it had been almost 2 weeks. One of the things that I had done this prep was I have been more extreme. Okay. I have taken my training and my cardio and my dieting and getting depleted to an extreme, and then I think in contrast, the skip loading hasn't been more extreme, but the reaction to my skip loading has. Because I've been so depleted, then the response to me filling out and everything else has been so much more dramatic. The visual is just so much different. So the depleting and the training and the changes I have made to that has then made the response to the skip loading that much more dramatic. Yeah. I'm able to get more food in, though it's the same amount of time. And understand, too, I mean, I say more food. I've always put away a lot of food on skip loads for years, and I've never had problems. Yeah. So I don't know, too, if, again, this is – I push a lot of this onto age, whether it's the drugs. I can't – 2013 was pretty odd. I can't – couldn't get away anymore with running the cycles, and my blood work said that. And I think what's starting to come around is now I can't be extreme with the training. I can't be extreme with loading. I'm also not handling those things very well. And it is a very, very difficult thing to accept, because when it comes to age-related things, when you get older, it's very psychologically difficult to accept the fact that these things are not working the same way and the body is not as resilient as it was. But I liken it to drinking. When you're in your 20s or your early 30s, you can get away with drinking. You come in the next day, maybe you're even a little hungover, and you can bang out a back workout and go, oh, my God, that was, you know, I didn't think it was going to be very good, but it was great.
Yeah.
Well, try doing that when you're in your 40s and it doesn't work. I think there are parallels there. I think that's my biggest obstacle, is I see clearly that this is related more to age than anything else. Can I still do it? I guess I could still continue to compete and prep without gear. But I'm looking at, you know, the relationship now, and this is what I have to find out. I have to go have this lab work.
Okay.
I have to have my kidneys checked, because my main concern right now, if I'm being quite honest, is where are my kidneys? My blood pressure is high. It's always been relatively high, or higher than I guess most than most people. I just run higher with my blood pressure, and I think all of the compounds, the edema, the massive cramping. I mean, let's be honest here. It's not rocket science to say that this is probably in some way affecting my kidney function.
Sure. It can't be doing anything good. Put it that way.
No, exactly.
So, and but if it's you not, are going to do labs. That's what you, that's so that's.
I don't have
that,
any choice.
That was going to be my next question. You are going to do labs. So when are you planning on going in?
Today, okay. I'm still I'm still dealing with the cramping. I get water in and I don't eat anything, and the edema comes down considerably. The minute that I eat something, I took a nap, I got up, I didn't hit you back right away to do this podcast because I went to sit down on the toilet and had to immediately stand up because I was cramping again just from a relatively mild meal prior to taking a nap. So I had to get water in and chewing on potassium and taurine. And
let me ask you this though. So why not get the labs now so that you can figure out what's happening versus trying to get this better on your own?
Oh, no, definitely. And I don't want to give the impression that and I am waiting. Here's what I'm waiting for.
Okay.
The reason that I haven't gone in today or yesterday is this has been a process of, as I talk about these things right now, these are the things I have come to within the last 24 to 48 hours.
Okay.
This isn't something that I arrived at this weekend and that I'm putting off. What I have come to is I'm struggling with this so bad. Psychologically and from an emotional standpoint, that I'm scattered. I am still responsible for, you know, my clients. I'm still making sure that everything, you know, here with my family is where it's supposed to be while I'm trying to process where I am and make sure that I'm not, as silly as it sounds, overreacting. And the other part is I know that when I go in to have lab work done, I'm going to have a doctor read me the Riot Act, and he's going to see the blood work. He's going to see the potential kidney numbers. And what happens in situations like this is doctors freak out, and I don't want somebody to freak out. I want to be able to, which is going to be difficult to do, but get someone who not necessarily is unbiased, but who's going to read the numbers with me. And I don't want to have to tell a doctor. I never have wanted to. And I've been lucky when I was in Colorado because I had a doctor who knew my background and knew what was going on, and it was kind of off the record. He worked with bodybuilders, high-level bodybuilders. So when blood work would come back, I didn't get read the Riot Act, and they already knew what was going on. What's going to happen here is I have to make sure, unfortunately, I'm going to have to tell them. They may want to hook me up and do tons of tests and, you know, you need this, you need that. And it reminds me of going into the doctor when I was contemplating going into the doctor when I was on DNP, where they could have made decisions that could have put me in a worse situation. As an example, adding a diuretic or something to that effect.
Let me ask you this, though. Is there any way you could contact your doctor from Colorado, do labs here, and you know, just email them over to him?
That's what I'm trying to figure out right now. And I'm actually even contemplating doing the blood work myself and looking at it first, and then meeting with a doctor, and they're going to want to, I'm sure, redo labs and everything else. And that way I would have some sort of a baseline or reference point. But I think my first order of business was I thought and still think, well, let me get some of this water off so at least my blood pressure isn't through the roof. I'm not, my electrolytes won't be so dangerously fucked up, but yet at the same time, I may need, you know, IV bags. I may need something that I am prolonging that could help me right now. So again, for anybody listening to this, and even yourself, Scott, please understand that I'm not avoiding going. What I'm doing is I am in the middle of processing it all and making sure that my head is straight and that my next moves are, I don't want to say calculated, but that moving forward, I know what I'm doing. I'm good with going in and having the lab work, talking to the doctor versus getting the lab work done myself. If I get it done myself, that's another day or two. So it could be wasted time.
True.
It could be argued that I should be doing that instead of this podcast. The reason I'm doing the podcast is because I have stayed off of social media because I didn't want to get into it. I didn't want to explain what was going on when my brain was scattered. And the problem is I'm getting a lot of people who are hitting me up, friends, clients, asking, you know, what's going on? It's unlike you to not, you know, respond in the forum for, you know, 2 days and, you know, what's up? People close to you tend to know when things are not good. I had my buddy over this weekend to load on the days are running together, Saturday or Sunday, I can't remember. And he had a little bit of an idea what was going on because I even posted on social media something to the effect of when you're holding a little bit of water and you wake up and you put carbs in and you get hard as fuck. Well, I did. And then 30 minutes later, all of a sudden it was like the floodgates opened.
30 minutes, and, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it may not have been 30 minutes, but the like point short. Was it was relatively quick. So maybe it was a couple hours. And then it was like the floodgates opened and I had to, you know, almost what the fuck. And, you know, I'm forcing water, which took away from, you know, my loading because I didn't want to load as hard. And it just got out of control. And the other thing that I have to be careful with, too, is, you know, there are going to be plenty of people who point the finger at loading, you know, and that's difficult, too, because I've loaded and had thousands and thousands of clients load with no issues for years. But when you put an existing issue together with, you know, loading or cheat meals, then obviously that's going to potentially exacerbate the issue.
Sure. Especially with extreme. And that kind of leads me to a question that I've had, and I'm sure that other people have too. And before I ask you though, I want to tell you, with me, you know, urging you to go to the doctor and, you know, with other people who've expressed their concern, and maybe even, I can't speak for everybody, but maybe even some of the people that come off aggressive, I can say that I speak from a point of caring about you, that I want to keep that. Doing this fucking show with you. I don't want to look back at these episodes and say, I wish I would have said something to him.
Right. No, and I get that. And one of the things that I made sure that I post today was, even though I didn't want to take questions and wasn't going to respond to messages or texts, that I do understand that the people who do respond are responding because they do give a shit, and that I appreciate that. That my lack of response is not that I don't appreciate it. It's that my brain is scattered. I'm trying to process it all, and I don't want to get caught up in responding to, you know, all these messages either on my phone or on social media or emails when I need to be mulling all this over and analyzing, you know, how I'm responding. You know, as I said, when I didn't eat earlier and all I was doing was pushing water, it was coming down considerably throughout the course of the day. And then to have one meal, you know, and to be clear, this wasn't a meal of, you know, four boxes of cereal or something.
Banana,
you know, like
Banana Foster's pancakes.
Yeah, exactly. which oddly enough, you know, there are other things going on that are, you know, my digestion isn't very good, which is also a sign that I'm not hydrated, that electrolytes are off, which is kind of a no-brainer if you think about it, because I mean, if I'm cramping so bad. But I think that has been the realization this weekend, that where is this coming from and why has it been such an ongoing issue? And I could even go and I did, I, you know, project ahead to say the day of the show, where I'm manipulating water and I'm not overly aggressive, you know, with diuretic use and things like that. But I have to load for a show. I have to manipulate my water to get hard as fuck.
Sure.
And if I'm having these problems when I'm not even loading and I'm not even manipulating my water, then I can only presume that this could be a potential horrible situation. And all that does is make me put forth more effort, push through, take more risks only to get to the show and potentially have issues 24, 48 hours, 72 hours for a show or even the day of the show that could be catastrophic. And so I think that's really what it's come down to.
I want to get my question in here because you mentioned loading and, you know, you mentioned extreme loading and, you know, you said the word extreme. And here's my question. Why did this have to be such an extreme thing? You know, I mean, why couldn't you have done? And I think the answer is and I know, you know, the answer, we've kind of talked about it off air. Why couldn't you have done, say, just 300 milligrams of Masteron, a little bit of Clen on and off, focused on the diet, you know, 25 milligrams of Anavar as the show got closer, and just called it a day? Why couldn't you have gone that route versus, you know, really, you know, hitting it hard the way that you always have, you know, all that?
I did all that last year. And like I said, outside of the extra things that life was throwing at me, it was actually working very well. This year was different, and I don't know why. I don't know if it was self-imposed pressure. I'll go so far as to say this, and I, you have to be a prep guy, I think, to understand this fully. With social media and everything being out there to be judged and graded and evaluated by usually lesser you know, knowledgeable and lesser experienced people, but even then that doesn't matter. Judgment is judgment.
Sure.
It's a situation where I felt like, and still do, that competing is harder for me now because I'm under a microscope and I cannot not show up in the condition that people expect me to show up in.
I can relate to that. I can get that. Yeah,
I think the added stress of that is added pressure, and maybe it's unjustified. It's possible that it is, but the reality is I don't see it that way. And I think I've had a lot of, and this is important, I've had a lot of people close to me in the bodybuilding industry who have come to me more than once over the last handful of months and said, why are you changing everything? Why are you doing things so differently than what you have always done that have always worked so well? And my answer has been, I want to continue to learn and I want my knowledge to continue to expand. But I think looking back, that's only a half truth. I think that I have become, during this prep, so much more aggressive and have my wife doesn't say anything. I always laugh and say I could walk around here ripped to shreds with a carrot in my ass and she's not going to notice. But she did tell me this weekend, and at first, and she told me, you're not going to want to hear this, and I don't usually say much, but this is what I think. And she said the same thing, and she did not know that these other people had come to me and said essentially the same thing verbatim. So I didn't get mad because I thought, wow, I had no idea that my wife was paying that much attention. And, you know, she's had her concerns. I'm not going to get into, my wife is incredibly supportive, always has been. We've been together for 25 years. I've competed. I mean, she was pregnant with our first child, who's 25 now, when I was competing. She knows it backwards and forwards. So when I say she could care less, she's still very in tune to what's going on. And she said the same thing. You're just doing everything different. You're going to such extremes. You're too depleted. You're overworking. You're overreaching. Wow. And then surprised when you're having responses that you feel are impacting your health. And she said, I haven't said anything, but I am concerned. I've been concerned. She was concerned from the day that I was cramping to, well, she even went back to last year and she said the DNP situation was fucked up.
Yeah.
And still can't understand why I would take a risk like that. That's cutting to the embarrassing part. What it does is it me putting, a lot of people will be very, oh, Skip, you're so transparent. We really appreciate that. And I think that a lot of people do. But me being so transparent and being so honest has its pitfalls. And the pitfall is that I feel like I've always been respected as someone who is relatively cautious, not only with myself, but with my clients. And I know now that just speaking for this year, last year with the DNP is certainly a question as well. But this year, I just completely broke that and took risks that I should have known and may have known that were very high risk, and for some reason thought that it was going to be fine, or that, well, it's going to be a short-term, you know, gig. I haven't done anything for 6 years. And I do need to say this. This is important. Earlier you said, you know, that last year I did TRT and everything else, and I want to be very clear. This is important to me. I did do TRT, but I did go above TRT with Equipoise and Anavar. It wasn't much above TRT, but it definitely was not TRT. So I'm not going to sit here and have someone blast me saying you weren't TRT, because there's always those few people that will capitalize on that and make it a point to try to, you know, say that you're being misleading or whatever else.
I think you're hard on your. I think you're hard on yourself, Skip. I think that you know, I know that there are people out there that judge. I understand what you're saying about being a prep coach. I can relate to that totally. I had a plan to compete last year in October, was it the end of October? And whatever it was, 8 weeks before that, I thought, hey, I think I'm in good enough shape to get up there, you know? And I wanted to just do that, just to get back up and have fun. I knew I wasn't close enough to be my best. But then when I didn't do well, man, I felt terrible. Like, right. I felt like shit, and I just was like, oh, man. I mean, now I look back at it, and I'm okay with it, but you know, and I'm actually glad I went, and I learned from it. But I, at the time, right afterward, I was like, yeah, I really wish I didn't do this, you know, and I felt embarrassed. I honestly did. I felt terrible because I knew I wasn't my best, and I felt like, to me, that was me creating a billboard for my business. This is who I am. This is what I can do for you. You know, I can get you into semi-okay shape. You know?
I think and you're being hard on yourself because you're very good at what you do in a relatively short amount of time.
Thank you.
Your name, and I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but you're making a name and branding your prep very well. Even just this last weekend is just another example. So
thank you.
You sell yourself a little bit short. I think what it is it's not selling yourself short as much as humility is underrated. So I give you credit for that. And I think that that's part of what I'm doing as well. I'm not going to sit here and I don't need to tell everybody how awesome I think I am. If people think I'm awesome, then they can say that I'm awesome. And in that way, for those who don't think I'm awesome, they don't have to tell me that I'm full of shit for thinking I'm awesome. I'm to the point now where I've done this so long that other people can come to their own conclusions. I do think, though, that it is a gamble putting things out there like this, because you know that small percentage is going to want to destroy you, and they thrive on things like that. But as you said, it's and it is true. It's just part of the process. It's the environment that we're in. It wouldn't have been any different on the boards. You know, it's just now you deal with social media. It's just a little different platform.
More pictures. That's the difference.
Exactly. And it does, listen, it does feed business. I may or may not have been more into this prep and prepping the last couple of years, more because I see the business potential than actually doing it for personal reasons. I will say that I love to prep.
Yeah.
But as far as getting on stage and placings and things like that, you know, I want to prove to myself that I can do that. And I want to prove to other people that I can still do that. It is still an ego driven situation. Like, I try to deny that, but the reality is that's not true. I I still have the ego component of it. And I think part of the reason that it is difficult is I can see where I am. I can see that without this water and without holding this water, I'm looking at it. I even this weekend, I was like, get the water off. Just fucking ride it out, dude. Yeah. You're going to be able to, you'll be there. You're on track, everything. And I was questioning it 3 weeks ago. Hmm. And it's the one thing that I'm not going to be able to explain fully, and it bothers me quite a bit, is how difficult it is psychologically to realize that not only that I have to pull out, that's only a small part of it, but that the days of doing this the way that I want to really are over.
Okay. And you've said that earlier in the show. We talked about that on the phone earlier today. I have a thought on that, and I know we aren't doing this show so that you can come to me for advice. You're still trying to even process where you're at. And it's easy for me to sit on the outside and ask you questions like, well, why didn't you just do low doses, Skip? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? It's easy for me from an outside position to you know, say these things and ask these questions. But one thought I will say is, look at the way this sport is. Look at what we love about it. You know, I hurt my back in 2006, and that was just a couple of years after I got really serious. And I was maybe 2005. I wasn't able to train. I stopped training altogether because I couldn't do what I wanted to. I couldn't squat. I couldn't train legs for shit. And I thought I would never be able to build my legs, so I stopped. And I eventually came back to it because I loved it. And I figured out, and you could see where I'm going with this, I figured out a way to work around it. And I figured out a way that I could still be my best. And no, I'm not in there with the guys that are squatting 5 plates. You know, that's just, I'm never going to do that. My back would still, to this day, just get crushed. But I have figured out how to challenge the fuck out of my body on leg day, to the point where I've had like tons of people that like want to come and train because we have so much fun. And it's been like a creative process of figuring out what works. And I know that that's who you are in your heart. That's what a prep guy is. You know, we are creative thinkers that create solutions. So to me, this is not an end. All this is just a point where now you just would need, you know, as long as you can stay healthy now, as long as all the labs come back okay, that maybe gear is still part of it. Maybe training hard is, maybe loading is, but it just might not be the same as you've loved to do it. But that doesn't mean you can't fall in love with the new method, you know, because it's at the end of the day, it's what we can achieve, right? That's what we really want. It's finding out how to make it work. And I think that I know that you are definitely, you've been doing this longer than I've been. You've been prepping people longer than I've been bodybuilding, and far longer even. And if anybody could figure this out, you are one of the people that could.
I appreciate that. I think that, and this is just me being, admitting that, because I feel so defeated right now and I'm scattered and I'm not in a very good place in my head. And make no mistake, listen, I don't want anybody to think that I am curled up in the fetal position in my closet with a gun in my mouth, rocking back and forth, because that's not the case either. I do still have perspective. I have an awesome wife and family, and I am happy for the move down here. I do miss Colorado a little bit, but not anywhere near enough to say, you know, oh my God, I made, you know, we didn't make any poor decision by moving here. It's awesome.
I would expect you to miss it. You know, you moved to a new place, there's just changes. So
there are just, you know, I miss the familiarity and things like that, but there are a lot of things I like down here, and people who say that the humidity is so bad, I love it because it smells good. But I do want to say that I think that my response right now may be different. It may be radically different than what it is in a month. And I agree with the things you're saying. I would just say that it's more the realization that I can't – we're in a sport that is extreme. And I've always been able to be extreme until 4 or 5 years ago. And I thought that I could get away with going back to being extreme because I had taken the necessary precautions and I had been safe. I had been responsible. I had been, you know, mature about my decisions. And then I go back to what I think I should have known was not going to work. Could I make those changes? I could. Could I continue to prep? Yes.
Good. The question, I like hearing that you know that. Now I know that I know that with time you'll see that, but I'm glad you're already there.
Well, I don't know that I'm there. Yeah. I'll just say that I can see it.
Yes. Yeah.
The question then becomes, can I, or am I willing to do it at what I'm going to consider to be less than 100%? Because when you're not going balls out on something, let's just take gear out of the equation for a minute. Let's just say that I go back to what was effective last year. I mean, and I'm, this is important to note, and I'm being, you know, just throwing this out here and being completely honest, and I'm disappointed by this, and I'm a little surprised. I thought that taking all this extra gear would really provide a significant visual difference, but it hasn't. And it's not that I didn't, like, I'm not better for taking more gear from clearly a visual, physical, you know, be judged on stage standpoint. What is surprising to me is it's the cost to benefit from the visual look and how my physique is nowhere near the risks that I have taken. So going back to the gear that I was doing last year where I was slightly above TRT, that I could make that decision without much of a problem. What I would have a hard time controlling is the approach from a training cardio standpoint of not overdoing that part of it. I don't know because I've been so focused on the health part that I haven't looked into, you know, or been processing all of the things with this prep that I, you know, could have done different and why I, you know, made a lot of the changes that I did, didn't load as frequently, got way more depleted. And when I say depleted, I mean, you know, people say, well, you know, God, Skip, what's the, everybody's depleted. What I'm talking about is getting so depleted that when you finish your last leg session before you're going to load, that you're pressing maybe 2/3 of the weight that you were 2 weeks prior. Okay. And you can barely hold the weight with your legs locked at the top because they're shaking so violently that you're worried that you're going to hyperextend your knee or that it's just going to cave in the opposite direction. It's coming out of the hole on a squat with 60% of the weight and you're going rep 1, 2, 3. Oh, I'm good. You get to 6 and you literally just stop and it feels like your legs are in the middle of cramping and you can barely get that weight to the lockout position. It's such a depletion that that is an overstep in and of itself aside from everything else. So that's where I get back to. Not only have I stretched and done things so radically different instead of staying with what has worked for years and years and years, not only for myself, but thousands of clients. And then I go into the loading phase where I get a load for a day that has little to no visual impact and little to no metabolic impact. And so then I have to start pushing more food. And it just becomes one extreme makes something else more extreme. And then everything is just extreme. There's a balance there that for some reason during this prep, I was unable to attain. Now, did it work? I mean, it really was working, but at the expense of everything else, turning into all these electrolyte issues, potentially impacting the situation that I had with, you know, my throat. I still say, though, the situation with my throat was isolated in the sense that I don't think it was gear related. It could be. Maybe because I had, you know, higher blood pressure that contributed to, you know, the bleeding or the rupture of a blood vessel. I don't know for sure because I didn't have it checked. I admit I didn't have it checked and I need to. but I don't think it was related because I've had this eating and throat issue for almost 15 years. I noted that it was 10, but I had a couple people close to me say, you were dealing with this in X year when we worked together. And okay. I was like, oh, shit, you're right. Well, and it's not an uncommon thing, like I said, and I had noted, you know, Andy Hammond had had the surgery where they go in, they stretch out that muscle. I just haven't done that because I felt like, why do I need a surgical procedure that'll have to be done in another couple of years anyway? It's not anything that fixes it for good when all I can do is just be careful and liquefy my food and not eat my food in a hurry. Logical, of course, but yet I didn't do that this one particular night and had a situation that after 15 years, never had a problem, and all of a sudden, it caused a problem. So, listen, okay. I could go on and on. I don't want to.
But I want to ask, as we close here, so you're going to go to the doctor. Can we expect to hear what's going on? Is this something you plan on keeping private? Is this something you plan on posting your labs on the boards? I mean, what are you going to do so we can prepare ourselves for how to talk to you about this? Because I understand this is a big thing, and I wanted to ask you, how do you want to handle it?
Here's what I'm going to do. At least this is where I am right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take the steps to figure out what the fuck is going on with my blood work, talk to a doctor, probably have my throat checked as well, but first priority is my kidneys to make sure that there are no issues there. That's my number one priority. What I'm going to do as far as information being public, at least where I stand right now, is I'm going to get answers and I'm going to have these tests done, and I don't plan on doing this in a daily, oh, this is what happened today, this is what, okay. And dealing with it. And I'm going to tell you why. Again, I appreciate everybody's concern. I know that there are people who are genuinely concerned, and then there are people who just want to learn from my experience too. And I respect that. I appreciate that. I'm flattered that people want to learn from the situation and they want to know what's going on. That's great. But I'm also not going to live this on a daily basis, and it just sounds shitty, but make this an added stress of having to deal with and respond to the influx of messages and things that I'm going to get from people, you know, whether it be on Facebook, text message, email, you know, Instagram, whatever, my journal, Elite FTS, whatever. I would rather that people are patient and understanding that I'm dealing with it, that I'll put out the information as I get it and as I'm able to process it, because I'm going to tell you this, and this is just me being, again, me being honest. If I have issues and I have problems, I'm not going to want to deal with it on a daily basis. I'm just not going to want to. So if I'm not putting something out and it's been a while, yep, I'm probably dealing with things and processing things.
Okay.
I don't know, you know, that doesn't sound shitty, but that's just the way that I'm going to handle it, at least at this point.
Fair enough. I thought it was, yeah. I thought it was important to ask. You know, I can assume it's a lot in a lot of ways, both, you know, I mean, this is your life. This is your life as in this is your health, but this is also your life as in your passion. So,
yeah. And I think it's important to note that everything that I put out there has the potential to be seen by family, close friends who have nothing to do with bodybuilding, my kids. And I'm also trying to be careful to not, you know, my kids know something's going on. Okay. I have to sit them down tonight and tell them that I've been having some issues and, you know, I need to check. And I don't even know, you know, exactly how I'm going to phrase it, but nonetheless, I'm going to be as honest as I can with them without freaking them out.
I'll tag them in this post instead. I'm going to have to talk to them.
And at the same time, it's a difficult position because even though all this information is out there for the industry, I'm also careful to try to not have close friends and family, and especially my kids, know the dark side either.
Yeah.
And people might say, oh my God, well, you know, you put this, all this information. My kids are my kids. They don't go listen to podcasts. They don't read my articles, which quite frankly, in my articles, I can't be very forthcoming and detailed, you know, with what I do anyway on Elite FTS because there are rules and, sure. and things like that. But I think I've done a pretty good job over the years of keeping them away from these things and, you know, them not knowing I call it the dark side, not knowing the dark side. And I want to make sure that I am careful with that too, because even though they're getting older and they may understand, they're still my kids, and it's not their, I don't want to say it's not their business, but to a certain degree, it's not their business. And it's a balancing act as a parent. Some people will see it as, you know, irresponsible. Some people will say, you know, other people will say, well, you know, you're being honest with everybody else. Why not be honest with them? I don't know. I haven't processed that yet. I don't know what I'm going to say to them until I sit them down tonight. But the last thing I would want to do is go to them and say, you know what, your dad's having problems because he was dumb and he went back to using a boatload of gear, and I feel that that is what has caused my problems, and now I've got to try to clean up the mess and hope that my kidneys aren't fucked up and moving forward that I don't have health issues because this is what I've done.
Do you need to tell them today out of curiosity, or could you wait and see if you don't get the lab work and see?
I could definitely, you know, I could do that, and I will probably let them know that I'm going to be getting lab work. What I'll do is I'll downplay it a little bit and just say, you know, I need to let them know that I'm pulling out of the show.
Okay.
And that I do have health concerns, that I'm concerned that, you know, because of the edema and the stresses that I have put on my body, and probably phrase it something along the lines of, I have made some decisions and pushed too hard, and my body is not capable of the things that it was when I was younger. That's not a lie.
That sums it up.
Yeah, I would call it a half truth. And I think that that is more of a kid based response that they will process much better than if I were to tell them, you know, the nasty details,
especially if it all irons itself out and there is no issues. Sure. You know,
The reality could be as simple as this, and I know this to be possible. I may be 48. I may have, you know, gotten away with shit for a long time, but it could just be too that my blood pressure is high, I'm stressing the fuck out of my kidneys and my system itself, and as soon as I clear out and I go maybe even a whole day or two of not eating much at all and rehydrating, that coming back to training won't be putting the demands on my body, and coming back to not using a boatload of gear. And let me, one more thing too, that I don't think that I may have been very clear on. When I say a boatload of gear, I have detailed what I'm doing. To some, it will seem like a lot. It's certainly more than I have done in 6 or 8 years, but it is not more than the large majority of people out there are doing. And there are plenty of people in their 40s who are doing it, and as far as I know, they may not be having any problems at all. I'm just telling you that there's a lot of 40-year-olds out there who have it. I'm not trying to drag anybody down with me. I don't want this to be misery loves company, but there are a lot of people out there who are denying what they're doing, or they're not being forthright, and they are having similar issues, and they're pushing through. And I won't do that, because even though I have made some poor decisions and I have put this prep above, you know, my health to a certain degree, I did get to the point where I realized it, and I'm making that decision now that it is no longer as important as it doesn't have the significance or importance that I was giving to it. There are other people who are going to continue to push through, and please don't assume that they're not having issues or they don't have problems or they're healthy, because that may not necessarily be the case. There may be people getting away with it, But we are dropping like flies, and we're dropping like flies at my age. And it isn't because of training too fucking hard.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna close saying, Skip, that you know, I've learned a ton from you over the years, more than you could ever know. Honestly, I had listened to PED, and before that, I had followed your posts on the message boards. I can't tell you how grateful I am for the information that you've shared, and I appreciate you coming on the show today to talk about this. And I hope that your health is good. And if it's not, I hope that you can get it good. When I say that I want to continue doing this show with you, that means I want to have you in my life. You are my friend, and I don't want to see you get taken out early.
I appreciate that.
All right. All right, guys. That's it. Blood, Sweat, and Gear. Skip Hill. Scott McNally.
Voices Radio Network.